Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lot of football. All sorts of football.
Football.
That was a weekend to feel it. I saw some people saying that they were underwhelmed by Wild Card Weekend.
No, it was great.
No way, man. That was exactly what we thought it was going to be in terms of compelling, fun. The Saints and Panthers, I thought, was an absolute great game with lots of stuff to get you going. That first AFC tilt existed in the periphery until you're like, wait a minute, are they really going to blow this? And then you're paying attention as the Titans come back and get it done.
Oh, I watched every snap of that game. That game was, man, added to the list. I was in Indianapolis when the Chiefs were up 38-10 on the road and lost to Andrew Luck. A lot of flashbacks going on when they blew that 18-point lead at home in the second half. That was insane.
They've done that before, and you had another little Clemson-type moment on your hands, didn't you? You're talking some smack. I believe there was a tweet that said Tennessee has no chance.
Oh, I did. I think I might be. You would think I would learn. Thank you for bringing that up. I had forgotten about that.
4 minutes in.
Yeah, people let me, I think largely let me slide on that because of how much of a beating I took over the Clemson prediction. The people were just pointing it out and being like, Happy New Year. You're really on a roll. Good job. You haven't won a bet yet in 2018. And they're right.
Are you still 0 for 2018? Did you play yesterday?
I didn't do much. You know, the Panthers covered. Upsets, the underdogs covered every game. I had a teaser on the Chiefs and Saints. That was a loser. I had the Saints covering their spread. That was a loser. Don't worry. I'm making it all back on Georgia tonight, though. Everything will be fine.
Oh, God. You're really doing that, aren't you?
I mean, I'm not going to go that big. That'd be ridiculous. But, yeah, I'll be invested in Georgia a little bit. Screw Alabama. They overrated. Overrated, Speaks.
Yeah, okay. All right. Whatever you think, kiddo.
It's basically a home game for the Bulldogs. I don't know if you know. The game's in Atlanta.
I am indeed aware of such things.
Yeah.
That it is an SEC tilt and a home game. I had fun this weekend.
It was fun.
And you know, man, the Saints, I'm all over the Saints to come out of the NFC, and there was yet another reason. If you forgot by chance that Drew Brees is still Drew Brees, Carolina understandably asked one of the best quarterbacks of all time to beat them, and then he did. It's understandable that they chose to do that and stack up on the run and beat the run.
Right. I mean, and they shut down Alvin Kamara. He had less than 30 yards rushing, and Cam Newton looked really good for the majority of the game, and it looked like he was going to execute the comeback. And then there was controversy. There's the concussion protocol controversy in that game. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs-Titans game was so poorly officiated that Jeff Triplett's retiring.
Finally.
Yeah.
I've been ready for that for a long time. He's annoyed me for a long time.
I've heard.
I have an absolute racist bias against his accent. I just feel like he's an idiot whenever he talks.
Wow.
I admit my slant in that direction.
You got to admit your biases.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. It just comes out. The cracker referee talking like that. I just am glad he's going away.
Okay.
I've always hated him. And not just because of the accent, but it's
not just because he's Southern.
No.
That's a good reason not to just hate someone.
He hit Orlando Brown. In the face,
yeah.
In the eye, blinded the dude.
Yeah, unintentionally.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty. I mean, I guess I can't judge intent. I don't like when the NFL officials judge intent, so I guess I should not judge intent on this flag tosser.
All right, well, stick with your narrative that the game went so poorly that he just flat out retired.
That he retired. And then we were hoping, at least I was hoping for Bills fans, that they would at least get a worthwhile playoff experience, and they scored 3 points. 3 points?
Yeah.
That's it? You wait that long for a playoff game since the Music City Miracle and you score 3 points?
I love that Nathan Peterman made our open because it was set up for a great Nate Peterman story there for a minute. But no.
Yeah. And then what was the other game? Oh, and then, Falcons, just a dismantling. Defensive domination of Sean McVay and Jared Goff in the Saturday night game.
So if we are to expect that the Bears are going to have exactly the second year of Jared Goff's career
Right, of course.
In the second year of Mitch Trubisky's career, because we're all going off that hopeful model, and you know maybe John DeFilippo is Sean McVay, et cetera. So does that mean we get a completely overwhelmed rookie head coach in his first game, and you get a big play offense that can't muster the big plays and gets outclassed by the defending champs next year? We're going to get exactly what the Falcon with the Rams got,
probably,
right?
But then you would take it in a heartbeat, right? It's upside.
It's funny, like I coming out of that game Saturday night, a lot of people saying Sean McVay looked like a deer in headlights. Some NFL insiders saying he was overwhelmed, the play caller was overwhelmed, all that. Okay, that's fine. I wouldn't be upset if we get a first year coach who turns around the quarterback and wins a division and then seems a bit overwhelmed in his first career playoff game. That's fine.
I would think that would be fine. Youngest team in the NFL going up against the defending NFC champs, and the Falcons win that game. And they won it with defense, which I think was the surprising thing to me. Like, it wasn't just that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones outdueled Jared Goff and Robert Woods. Like, I could have seen that coming.
Yeah.
I did not exactly see the Atlanta Falcons bottling up Todd Gurley and making the entire Rams offense look pedestrian. And now, doesn't it feel like for championship or for divisional weekend, it feels like we're getting one of the championship games early? To me, it feels like Saints-Vikings is the NFC championship game, or at least should be the NFC championship game.
Feels like those are the two best teams.
Yeah, and
they are.
Huge break for the Falcons. They're the first time ever that a 6 seed has been favored over a 1 seed in the divisional round of the playoffs.
There's a scenario that just it feels so plausible that I can't get it out of my head, and that's that the Saints playoffs go like this. Home in a dome, then at Minnesota in a dome.
Yep.
Home for the Falcons, who have beaten the Eagles.
Yep.
In a dome.
In their dome.
And then back to Minnesota in a dome for the Super Bowl. That the Saints never have to play outside. They can wear their all blacks as many times as possible.
It's a good look for them.
Right. Oh, it's a great look.
It's
for
a really
them.
Good look for them.
It's a great look for them. They look faster.
Slimming.
Yeah. it's true. But like the Saints never get out of a dome and just play their game and control things with their offense the whole way and a very good young defense.
It's
a Saints year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is. They finally got the running game, and Sean Payton gets bailed out a little bit for some of his weird coaching at the end of the game. And did you see that graphic, by the way, of Drew Brees and accuracy and the top? He has 3 of the top 4 completion percentage seasons in NFL history.
Oh, my God.
And it's 4 of the top 10, and Sam Bradford's the only other guy in there because it's obviously, you know, shorter passes, and it's gotten easier to complete the ball because of the rules and all of that. Mm. He completed 72% of his passes this year. 72%. And so when I'm watching Drew Brees, and I'm thinking about how Ryan Pace is trying to recreate the Saints of the North, albeit, yes, with the wind and the lakefront and an open-air stadium, but he drafted the most accurate passer in college that he could get at the top of the draft in Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching it and you're thinking, this is the best-case scenario, right? Drew Brees with mobility. Like, Drew Brees level accuracy with mobility.
One of Brees' best throws was on the run yesterday.
Yep.
Even, was he 38?
38 years old.
That throw on the run to Michael Thomas down the right sideline for a big, big gain. I'm looking at the early years of Drew Brees in San Diego when he went 8-8 in his second year, 60% completion rate, followed by 57.6 completion rate in 11 games as a Charger, followed by 65 and 64 and 64, and then he got up. You know, up there, but there's a 60 and a 57 early on, so you don't have to despair. It is possible for somebody to be statistically as mediocre to bad as Mitch Trubisky was this year and have a learning curve take you to very, very good places.
Right, and it was fun to look at because Brees is not the most mobile guy, obviously. He's not the strongest arm, obviously. He's not the biggest quarterback, right? Sometimes they'll zoom in on him throwing on his toes because he's got to level up to see above the offensive line and all that.
It's a big part why he went in the second round
right,
when he did.
But accuracy wins. Like, some of those throws that he had yesterday where he is putting them in the tightest window against a good defense,
right.
It's just accuracy. Elite level accuracy is just, it's a skill that is almost impossible to guard in the modern NFL.
All right, have we buried the lead? I don't think we've buried the lead. But,
I don't know,
but it is.
That we're giving
noting.
Away a pair of Cubs convention passes.
That's awesome. This is the week of the Cubs convention.
Yes.
We're giving away a pair of passes today. Also, who's on at 10 o'clock?
Brian Urlacher.
I'm excited for that.
Very excited. Hall of Fame finalist, Brian Urlacher.
Last time we talked to him with Pat Manley here, we learned about all the locker room dodgeball games.
Yeah.
And a couple other sports. What is it? The box? Box him up?
Box him up, which was just drop a big moving box on top of a player without them knowing.
What the hell is that?
Dodgeball. And he was talking about who the best players were at dodgeball. I want to find the weakest link today. Like, who is the guy that you targeted to get him out of the game early? Who is the weakest player in Bears locker room dodgeball? So we'll talk with Brian Urlacher about that and the Bears coaching situation, obviously at 10. But I assume that's not the lead that you were talking
no.
about.
No. We also have the feel-good fan story of the weekend. I'm excited to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But how was your morning yesterday? There you were.
Yeah.
My past and my present hosting together on a Sunday morning on The Score. I was notified by it by a million tweets and Facebook posts, of course.
Hold on a second. You knew about it.
Oh, no. That's what I knew. All right. I did know a little
bit. Come on, buddy.
I knew a little bit.
You knew ahead of time.
A lot of people did not. I think the shock and awe of, oh, my God, is that Dan McNeil on our airwaves? And it was. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was great. Good. At first, I thought I was just living the embodiment of a Ford commercial. I thought I was just there. I was like, am I going for a test drive?
Did you have to buy a truck in order to host with the man?
No, I didn't. It was amazing. He's promised me 0% interest, though, if I want to get a 2018 when my current lease expires.
Uh-huh.
It was fun. Like, I was asked if I wanted to host with Mac, and I was like, yes. he's my first favorite radio host ever. You know, I interned for Mac Yurko and Harry. Like that, you know, I looked up to his radio career when I was young and thinking about getting into this business. So
there you were driving yesterday.
I was driving the show. Like,
take me everywhere, anywhere you want, Parco.
That's exactly what it was. Feeders writing, like, Dan McNeil co-hosting with Danny Parkins. I was like, am I high? And, like, the answer, I think, was yes. But, like, I it was
well,
just,
if
it was,
it's a Sunday morning and Mac's on the air, somebody was high.
Right, exactly.
That's the way it used to be.
I was like, Mac is co-hosting with me? I used to literally park his car.
He had you park the car?
Yeah, well, if he was running late and he didn't want to deal with anything, like, he would just pull up and he'd go, Parco, meet me downstairs. You could just pull the old SUV into the lot for me.
Jay, have you ever had to park my car? I think you moved it one time for me.
I did move it once, but for whatever reason, I wasn't upset about it.
Yeah, because it was like a rare emergency.
There was a tow zone thrown up, like late notice or something like that.
It's something like that.
It wasn't just laziness and elitism on your part that time.
Not that time.
Yeah, it was a true emergency, so I didn't mind.
Yeah, it was fun. It was totally surreal. He's hosting next Sunday and a few Sundays after. Feeder reported that it's with Tim Doyle.
Yeah, he's doing football Sundays, at least for this month, right here on The Score.
Yeah, and so, you know, it was bizarre, man. It was bizarre, but it was fun, and I enjoyed it, and it was super degenerate. We were talking teasers and totals, and
yes.
He was shouting out referee numbers. Like, he knows way too many officials and their jersey numbers, which I just thought was weird.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
I know. I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of it.
Most everything.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was a good time.
It was an odd listen for a guy like me.
I believe it.
Oh, man. That was like, all right, I know that bit. I understand. Oh, yeah, I know where he's going there. And then I know where he's going there.
Yeah.
After a while, I was like, all right, I think I've heard this show. At least I've lived this show. I'm not exactly sure.
In your nightmare sessions, in your therapy, where would you heard that show?
Not a nightmare.
Okay,
I like the both of you.
No,
and,
I know.
And I'm glad you had
you.
A good time. And it just adds weight to our upcoming first and last anniversary show.
True. Yeah, January 17th. Everybody get excited. The one and only Spiegel and Parkins anniversary
it's
show.
It's going to be a terrific only anniversary show. So, I mean, get in your fun while you can. Send a present while you can, people.
Right. SpiegelandParkinsStuff.com if you want to buy our t-shirt that trolls the basketball team and raise money for charity.
Oh, yeah.
Mine
arrived.
Wow.
Mine arrived. Very pleased. If you're watching it, watch 670thescore.com. My 3.5 million shirt has arrived.
Wow, that's a good looking shirt.
I like they make big sizes. You're swimming in that thing.
I am so comfortable. This is too big.
It's too big.
It's frankly too big, which I did not expect. They are pre-shrunk cotton, and I can report that the multiple X's, whatever X's they may be.
Oh, my X's. Sorry.
The multiple X's, they fit beautifully.
That's great.
You know the thing that you have to
I'm
do,
I'm glad
Jay?
You and your exes are getting along.
Especially at this time.
There was
the multiple exes. Yeah, me talking about multiple exes.
Dude, one time in my life, I had to return a shirt that was too big. I was like,
it was a great
yes,
moment.
This shirt doesn't fit. And I turned around, it's too big. You get that, everybody? Too big on me.
Write it down.
It's the best moment of my life.
Somebody film this and put it on the internet, please. But you know that move you do where you get the shirt and then you like you stretch out the bottom, you put the elbows in there.
Put your knees under there.
Yeah, you try not to rip it. It responded very well.
I call that Christmas.
Before you put on the sweater.
You're asking those guys, do they know that move? They're like, I invented that move.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah. So SpiegelandParkinStuff.com, and I can report that the shirts from Triple Threat Sports, our guy Chris Hubble, they fit well. They look good. I think they do.
Yeah, it looks great. It fits great. I can't wait to get mine. The first orders have shipped. You should have plenty of them out in time for January 17th. You could probably still get them in time for January 17th.
I don't think we're in danger of copyright infringement here on the front. Do you?
I certainly wouldn't say it publicly.
Okay.
No, I think it looks good.
I think so, too.
I think
we kept it nice and clean.
I think everything looks good, and it was you guys have a good weekend? My weekend was busy. You guys have a good weekend?
Tremendous.
Yeah, it was fine.
I went you sledding. Asked me about my Sunday. I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
About
you went sledding?
I did. I took what? Eddie sledding.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I actually fit on a sled and made it down the hill without embarrassing myself.
That's tremendous.
Well, I may have embarrassed myself, but I wasn't aware if I was embarrassing myself or not.
Were there any tree casualties?
No, but the momentum of the 250 going down the hill on a child's sled almost took me to a park bench. Like, I probably shouldn't be going this far.
That park bench wouldn't stand a chance.
The fire and smoke behind the sled was concerning, too.
But you got it done.
I did, several times.
That's tremendous. What sled works best for Addy? Because we just got Ruben just the round.
The saucer.
The saucer, man. And the saucer is like it's like a $5 piece of plastic, but it is consistently the best sled.
Those are great. We have a, I guess it would be styrofoam two-person bobsled is what it's called. It's a flat piece. It's like a surfboard. And it was great. She loved it. And then her friend showed up with a real old-school toboggan, like a wooden. That was the best. And if I had $300 to spend, I'd get a toboggan.
Well,
it was really cool.
That's good. That's good. Did you put any WD-40 on the bottom like Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation? No?
Did not need it. All the momentum I needed was in my hindquarters.
Okay. Got it.
I like the image of you like Herschel Walker in the back of the bobsled. You know, get that push going, use your elite speed and your girth, and just hop on.
Hey, about a saucer sled. We got Brian Urlacher, like you said, at 10. I want to discuss fallouts from the coaching search as it related to the playoffs, right? We got a DeFilippo Fangio report.
Yeah.
We got an interview with Matt Nagy the day after his team blows an 18-point second half lead.
I've seen some people say that shouldn't matter. Some people say that should matter. Let's discuss. Did you see the insider with a scoop, which was immediately called out as BS by one of our own?
I did.
We should report on that one, too.
Sounds good. And again, Brian Urlacher in 40 minutes. It is Spiegel and Parkins approaching our one and only one-year anniversary on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
As heard on Westwood One, the beginning of the comeback for the Titans and another devastating Chiefs playoff loss at Arrowhead. Six straight home playoff losses.
Amazing.
For arguably the best home field advantage in the NFL. That is insane.
It is insane.
Longest in NFL history. The audio, by the way, brought to you by Subway Restaurants. Stop by Subway Restaurants for a foot-long fave for $4.99. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
I didn't think Marcus Mariota had it in him. If the Chiefs run their offense more effectively, perhaps it wouldn't have mattered what he did, since it took absolutely everything they had to come back, and the Chiefs obviously did not score after getting up as far as they did. But Marcus Mariota, great day for him, if not statistically, just making big, big plays when they mattered. And one of the coolest moments of the weekend, if you could detach from whoever you bet on, Danny, or whatever the situation was Mariota making that block for Derrick Henry to clinch it for the final first down. Great block, something that quarterbacks have the opportunity to do because of the zone read these days. And he made a very clean, very safe with his off shoulder, right? Or was it the right shoulder or the left shoulder?
It was the right shoulder.
Oh, was the right shoulder. Yeah. No, you're right.
But he didn't really throw the block. He just kind of just got in the way.
He got in the way. He did what you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, he leaned his body in the way, and he makes the right block and goes over, and his teammates giving him some love and him just standing there taking it for making the block that sprung. It was a very cool moment.
It was. It was, if you were an early buyer of Marcus Mariota stock, like I was, it was a good thing. And I was thinking about it like big picture for both franchises, because a lot of Chiefs fans want to accelerate the movement to the Patrick Mahomes era,
yeah,
but were a little afraid that like if Alex Smith made an AFC Championship game run and he won in Foxborough, that he would come back next year.
The red carpet is now put out, isn't it?
Exactly. But Titans fans, if they lost, thinking they were going to Mike Mularkey, he gets the vote of confidence after the game. So it's weird. Like, in terms of big picture, the losing team, their fan base gets what they want. They move on from Alex Smith almost assuredly. The winning team wins a playoff game. Mm. They get confidence restored in their franchise quarterback, but they get the bad news in their minds, if I was going to speak broadly, that they get their head coach coming back next year.
You know the dynamic well there, and watching what it was. That's Alex Smith's last game as a Chief, isn't it?
It should be. It should be. And even though it wasn't his fault, and even though he had the best season, arguably, of his career this year.
And he was good yesterday for a lot of that game.
They will have assistant coach turnover, but they had four offensive possessions in the second half where they scored no points, and they were not able to overcome Travis Kelce being injured. Some of that has to fall on the quarterback.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe Ostrowski. We're looking forward to talking to Brian Urlacher in 30 minutes. Do you think that Matt Nagy should be downgraded as a coaching candidate as a result of forgetting about the NFL's leading rusher and zero second-half points in a loss at home to the Titans?
No. I think the fans of whatever team gets him are going to be a little trepidatious, but I don't know how much Andy Reid was involved in that second half. Andy Reid was looking at the play sheet. He's on the headset. I don't know. And without Travis Kelce, things got a little screwy. But mainly because I don't know how much Andy Reid was involved. If we're going to give Nagy credit for those five games, I suppose we should lean on him. But it's hard for me to take 30 minutes of football and measure it against the entire resume of the man.
Oh, but he doesn't have a very big resume, would be the counterfactual there. I think the answer is still no, though. I agree with you. And I'll give you a few pieces of recent history as evidence, right? How do you think Niners fans are feeling about Kyle Shanahan? Pretty good, right? Pretty good with what he did when he got Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
49ers offense.
And he was the offensive coordinator at 28-3 for the Falcons, right?
He was the offensive coordinator at 28-3 for the Falcons. How do you feel like Doug Peterson is going over with Philly fans right now? Pretty good, right?
And which Kansas City loss was he a part of?
He was the play caller. Same exact scenario where Andy Reid had handed over the play calling to Doug Peterson in Chiefs-Patriots at Foxborough, where they were down two scores, and they ran the worst down-two-score, two-minute offense in the history of the NFL, because there were 7 minutes left. They got the ball, and statistically, it's the worst. There's never been a drive where a team has been down two scores or more with the ball 7 minutes or less left in the game that took a longer period of time. They were not doing hurry up. They were running the ball.
Oh, God, I remember
they were going in bounds.
That lack of urgency. That was insane to watch. Yep. I had forgotten about it.
Doug Peterson gets the Eagles job out of that game when he was the principal play caller there. So you can't knock a guy just for their last piece of effort. But I think it also goes to speak to something we've talked about with Michael Lombardi, is how many truly great difference-making coaches are there? Because it would be ridiculous to knock Sean McVay down a huge peg after that game, right? Because it's just one game. But Sean McVay looked completely outclassed. Doug Peterson in his last audition in Kansas City looked completely outclassed. Kyle Shanahan in his last in Atlanta looked completely outclassed. Matt Nagy there looked completely outclassed. There aren't that many infallible coaching resumes, right? Pete Carroll, one of the best coaches ever, allowed for Russell Wilson to throw the ball on the 1 yard line when he had Marshawn Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which coach can I not poke holes in? Andy Reid, top five coach in the game, seem to win the big one.
What's the Belichick one? Going for it on fourth down from deep in his own territory against Peyton Manning?
I guess
that was argued by math people. for a long time.
Right, and he seems ahead of the curve on going for it on fourth and short. That seems to be happening more and more.
It still felt crazy when Sean Payton was doing it yesterday.
Yes, it did. Sean Payton, onside kick in the Super Bowl, looks, when it works, he's a genius. If it doesn't work, people are crushing Sean Payton for it. Point is, you can't go off of one game, one decision. You've got to go off of a body of work. And if you're hiring someone with a body of work as small as John DeFilippo or Matt Nagy, you're taking a leap of faith anyway.
Let's talk about Alex Smith for a minute, because it is now 5 straight years with at least 3,000 yards and under 10 interceptions. I mean, and this year it's over 4,000 yards and only 5 interceptions. And he's going to go his entire career playing pretty damn well.
Yep.
And being thought of as the second best quarterback on his team most of the time, and like more of a detriment than a help towards the big picture. It's crazy having the run that he did in San Francisco, and then as soon as Kaepernick gets in there, they go to the Super Bowl, and now here, and you, a ton of people ready to rush him out the door after a 104 quarterback rating season, 4,000 yards and 5 interceptions with 26 touchdowns.
Life isn't fair. Kaepernick was better than Alex Smith in San Francisco.
He was the better fit for what they were doing.
And they went to the Super Bowl.
They sure did.
he was better. Now, Alex Smith will tell you that they would have won the Super Bowl if he would have stayed in. And obviously, there's no way to know that. And you can't tell me, when you watch Pat Mahomes throw the football, you can't tell me that he's not a more talented player than Alex Smith. Is he better? Will the results be there? Will there be more interceptions? All of those things we'll have to go out and see. But Alex Smith,
crazy.
I've always described him, high, high, high floor, low ceiling. Everything around him has to be perfect. Perfect. And he's had perfect situation in Kansas City. All-pro right tackle, number one pick left tackle, second-round pick center, continuity in the offensive coaching staff with Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. When he has all of that, he looks really good. Whenever he doesn't have a little bit of it, they falter.
He's now 2-5 in his career in the playoffs, but it is 7 playoff games.
He's played well.
5 different seasons, and overall, his overall rating in playoff games is 97.4.
Yep, he's been good in playoff games for the most part. No question about it. Life isn't fair.
He's going to be a hell of a fit somewhere next year for some team that feels close.
It's a fascinating offseason story, too, because maybe some team who feels close, or maybe some team that just doesn't love the rookie class. It could go either way, right? Say you're John Dorsey in Cleveland, and you don't love the quarterbacks at the top of this draft, but you've got all of these draft picks, and you just want to rebuild your entire roster. Trade for Alex Smith. You traded for Alex Smith once before. Get adequate quarterback play. Wait a little bit to find the next one. Jacksonville.
See,
he's an upgrade of Blake Bortles.
What's interesting yesterday, like, how many quarterbacks had their careers in their cities kind of finalized yesterday? Tyrod Taylor, I think if you're the Bills, and Sean McDermott's been wanting to do it anyway, and they couldn't win without, because Tyrod had to go down the field yesterday and he couldn't find a way to do it.
Had no help.
I understood.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they've been wanting to do that anyway. I would assume that it happens this summer.
I would too.
Okay. So Alex Smith, we're talking about as a finish. Even in a win, is the Blake Bortles era over for Jacksonville?
Maybe not. It should be, though.
He ran for more than he passed.
Let's put it like, if you did this in Jacksonville and you put Alex Smith in Jacksonville,
yeah,
do they have the same ultimate result, though? That's what I think is interesting. Like, he's better than Blake Bortles.
No, they theoretically, they should be a Super Bowl team. You upgrade your Bortles to an Alex Smith, and then all the other things remain
equal. The defense
equal.
Is still great. The running game is still great. Coaching is still good. But, I mean, is Alex Smith with Jacksonville better than Ben Roethlisberger with Pittsburgh? I don't think he's worth 7 points. They're a 7-point dog this week. 7.5.
Is Eli worth 7 points?
No. Alex Smith's better than Eli.
I'd rather have Alex Smith than Eli right now. I would.
So, you know, it's an interesting thing for Jacksonville, because for them, they feel like they've got a ready-made team. Is Alex Smith enough of an upgrade to get them over the hump against New England and against Pittsburgh?
Uh-huh.
My inclination is no.
If you're Minnesota, do you move forward with Case Keenum, with hopefully Teddy Bridgewater waiting in the wings? Or do you want a guy like Alex Smith?
I mean, there's talk that Minnesota might franchise tag Case Keenum, which if I would have told you that before the year, you would have said you're insane.
That's awesome. guess we'll see how Case does in the playoffs.
Let's let it play out.
That's boring, though. I do love the segment, but the concept sucks. I do like the idea of wherever Nagy goes, he brings Alex Smith with him. Go to Arizona. You can go. Nagy and Alex Smith together out there.
Sure, people are talking about Shermer and Case Keenum as a package deal if the Vikings don't want to do it. It's just Alex Smith is a perfect quarterback for this era, and he landed in a perfect spot in Kansas City. Mm. Complicated offense, really smart, really accurate, not a ton of risks, and then he finally starts throwing the ball downfield when he's got elite skill position talent around him. That's what it is. But I would not downgrade Nagy if I was the Bears.
All right, you mentioned a bunch of stuff about the Bears search. Let's do it when we come back. Plus, the one guy who always gets to stay, no matter what, all this stuff that we're talking about, there's one guy who always gets to stay, seemingly as long as he wants.
It's Spiegel and Parker's on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Walgreens. Switch your Medicare Part D prescriptions to Walgreens and start saving today with copays as low as $0 on select plans with Tier 1 generics. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Brian Urlacher in 15 minutes.
So Andy Reid just gets to stay forever, right? I mean, he got to stay in Philly for a long time. I like him very much as a coach in terms of a schemer. I had been talking about him as a play caller before things went to hell in the middle of this year and he gave it up to Matt Nagy. But his teams keep falling apart in big games. They don't finish the job in postseasons. Have they just never been quite good enough to do it? He's allowed to stay as long as he wants, and I'm sure he'll be allowed to stay again in Kansas City for as long as he wants.
He should stay. He should. Look at who the Bears are interested in hiring. Like, look at who's out there. You're going to fire Andy Reid for whom?
He's the Alex Smith of head football coaches.
He's better than that. How many coaches are better than Andy Reid?
Is he the Donovan McNabb of coaches?
Maybe.
It's an irony that the two quarterbacks he's had are possible.
Are kind
comps.
Of reflective. It's funny how that works, yeah. Right? The coach quarterback connection. He wins a ton of games. He schemes them. Now listen, it is a huge riddle as to why the schematic advantage that you seem to have with Andy Reid in the regular season seems to go away in the playoffs. That is a unsolved mystery that I know a lot of Chiefs people are trying to figure out right now.
Look, in the micro here, yeah, he should probably stay. Also because he got Pat Mahomes, and Andy Reid has a proven track record of helping to develop quarterbacks. Let him stay around Pat Mahomes until you feel good about him.
Well, and you jettisoned John Dorsey, so you've already chosen Andy Reid. You've chosen Reid over Dorsey, and you allowed him to trade up and draft Mahomes. And let's not oversell, he turned over the play calling, okay? Like, he did it when Doug Peterson was a head coaching candidate, and he said, yeah, Doug's been calling plays. But we had Terez Paylor on from the Star. He was talking about how he still is there in install and game planning and scripting the first 15 and all of that.
Yeah.
And you see Andy Reid on the broadcast holding up the play sheet. Like, he's not involved with Matt Nagy, with Doug Peterson, with any of that. He's just loyal to his coaches to try to get them coaching gigs. Mm. So I think you got to keep him. I don't think that there's many people that are better at it. If you gave me a name that was better, I'd be open to exploring it.
There's not like there's anybody available right now that has a better resume or a better track record.
He develops quarterbacks. He maximizes quarterbacks with less than super talent. I want to see Reid with Mahomes because Mahomes is the most naturally gifted player he's ever coached at that position. Just in terms of arm strength, mobility, that sort of thing. I would love to see Andy Reid with a truly elite quarterback talent.
He's going to go down as one of those guys who was really, really, really good, but never quite got there.
Yep.
There's a lot of them in history. I find myself thinking about Gene Mauch, the old baseball manager who never won one.
I was just thinking about him, too.
I figured you and I were right there on the
right
same page.
The same
we both
spot.
Went to Gene Mauch.
Well, either earlier in the show, you said you would sign up right now for Sean McVay, the Bears coach next year, getting to the playoffs and losing and looking overwhelmed.
Yes, in year one of his life with a quarterback in year two, having shown you that he's building something, but I'm not signing up for you know, for would you sign up for Andy Reid for Andy Reid's career as the Bears coach as opposed to the last two coaches you've had?
Yes, of course. I mean, he wins like 60-something percent of his games. He's gotten to a Super Bowl. He's been to the NFC Championship five times. He's been in the playoffs 3 of 5 years in Kansas City. Like part of this is like he loses to really good teams. Like he, part of it is losing. Now, the Titans is not an example of that, obviously.
No, yesterday is pretty ugly.
No, of course. But losing to Bill Belichick, losing in the Super Bowl, these are not great travesties of our time. Like Andy Reid is a good enough coach to win the Super Bowl.
Let's say he gets fired. Let's say he gets fired today.
Yeah.
You want Bears fans, you want Andy Reid at this age and experience level and track record and everything, or John DeFilippo, Pat Shurmur, even Josh McDaniels, over all these candidates. You want Andy Reid over all these candidates?
Yes.
You should, right?
Yes, of course.
Because you'd rather have Andy Reid build Mitch Trubisky into something.
Yeah.
Even if that means you get rid of him in 3 years.
Because, right, there has to be some level of analysis. Like, was Dan Marino a good enough quarterback to win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Of course, right? He just didn't win.
After year two. Didn't even get there.
Right, but he just didn't win the Super Bowl. Andy Reid is a good enough coach to win the Super Bowl. He just hasn't won the Super Bowl. Like both of those things can be true. Of course, I would want Andy Reid in Kansas City. You mentioned the media beef.
Oh man, our guy Greg Gabriel's a salty man. He really is.
Yeah,
and when he gets going,
punches.
Yeah, Gabriel was writing about Jason LaCanfora because LaCanfora wrote on CBS that Josh McDaniels will have his choice between the Bears and the Colts. And is leaning towards the Colts, but he's going to have his choice. And Greg Gabriel writes, Jason LaCanfora says McDaniels has a choice between Bears and Colts. Problem is, LaCanfora hasn't been right on anything for years. LaCanfora was the guy who twice said Bears hired a consultant last year to look at the front office. There was no truth, and he made it up. Man, he made it up.
Napalm. I have no love lost for LaCanfora. I think he's got some clownish tendencies. He's not my guy. Never has been. I hung up on him one time in Kansas City. So I'm good on Jason LaCanfora. I'm on Team Gabriel in this Twitter bat.
LaCanfora tweeted back at Gabriel, "What's up, legend?" ? Actually, NFL Network reported the consulting thing, and you can't even spell my name correctly. Try harder. Jason LaCanfora. And Gabriel responded, "They reported it based on your BS story. Now go back to bed."
I love the pettiness. Oh, I love the pettiness in our industry. It's great.
He went back at him again. There was no consultant, nor was there ever a thought of a consultant. You made it up. That's from Gabriel LaCanfora.
Made it up. That's good for Greg.
It's a fairly harsh thing to accuse an NFL insider of. Yeah, LaCanfora's reputation is bad. I thought that Rappaport had that story first last year, but I could be wrong.
I don't remember, nor do I care.
Oh, and if McDaniels is their guy, the Titans winning was the best thing possible. They're going to bring back bum-ass Mike Mularkey again.
Right. For the Bears' purposes, another team not entering the coaching search fray can only help their matter.
Especially one with a former Patriots executive running the team.
Man, I can't stop thinking about the effect of that whole Patriots story and the bit of unrest as reported, and whether that is the final little extra shove to get Josh McDaniels to leave that situation and go take a job.
Patricia's already out the door. That's already at the party. He's going to be in Detroit.
Yeah, Patricia's looking like he's going to the Lions. Or if it means Belichick's leaving, it means McDaniels stays to get promoted to be the head coach in New England.
Yeah, I mean, McDaniels would have to go back and say, "Hey, Bill, what are you going to do? Just so I know."
Right.
Have an awkward conversation right here in the middle of the playoffs.
Well, Rex Ryan said on ESPN he thinks that Bill Belichick's leaving. And then there was the New York Daily News report that Belichick's looking at the Giants job. Yeah, you didn't see the Rex Ryan thing?
No, I didn't see the Rex Ryan thing.
Yeah, Rex Ryan apparently said on ESPN. Now, you know, Rex Ryan's a blowhard, but there's a chance he would know. He's pretty connected up there.
Did he comment on the feet of the person
he did not.
He was hosting with.
And one time you let one fetish slip about loving your wife's feet, and every time your name is mentioned, you've been to the AFC title game twice with Mark Sanchez, and that's what the guy's known for.
I'm going to have to, you're going to have to redefine let the fetish slip. He put it on YouTube.
Yeah, he's not embarrassed. The man loves his wife's feet.
It's not a let it slip. That's an advertisement.
Okay.
That's an open, willing share. He's trying to start a cult of feetness.
He's not embarrassed. The man's
really
man's
beautiful feet.
Really beautiful feet.
The man is proud of his wife's feet. I'm not shaming that man for that. Let's go get a G-damn snack.
Well, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave them out.
Yeah, good for
just
you, Rex.
To, oh, that's beautiful.
Good for
just
you,
happens
Rex.
Happens to be walking by the car. Look at that, a woman with her feet out.
How about that?
I do like that. I better film this for later use and put it up on the internet because there's no other way to save video.
Does Brian Urlacher have a preference for the next Bears head coach? We'll talk to him about McCaskey and Phillips' involvement in being a Hall of Fame finalist, his golf game, locker room dodgeball, a lot to do with Brian Urlacher next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.